Well, here we go. This is what they call a new recording of The Tales of the Whales, our weekly podcast where we... I've just got up, by the way. It's midday. I've just got up on a Saturday morning.
Who are they?
You and me.
Oh, are we? No, we're not they. We're
okay.
Us.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay.
Anyway, I promise I'll do projection.
Projection is good.
Otherwise, you'll tell them.
So I sound a bit croaky. You know what it is? I've got my cappuccino made by the lovely Lady W, who I don't seem to be able to make it in the same way. And
I do have good barista skills.
Yeah, but I don't want to talk about that in public. So anyway, this is our little podcast about what it's like to live with cancer, whether you have it or you're the person who is looking after the person who has it.
And we've got lots to report this week.
Yeah, well...
It's been quite eventful on the medical front.
You carry on because you're the medical guru.
Well, I think, first of all, you had your hospital visit.
Yeah.
And the scan and that sort of thing, which we haven't had the results of the scan yet.
Which is a good thing, in a way, because you do hear quite quickly if there's a real problem, don't you?
Yes.
And I've decided to take a couple of weeks off chemo.
More, because we were scared that Professor Tom was going to tell you off for having taken a couple of weeks off already.
Yeah.
But he said, no, that's a good idea. Horrible drug. I wouldn't take it.
Yeah. No, if I wouldn't either, really, I think. But
So the plan is to, we're going to go away for a couple of days to France, so you don't want to be on the chemo for that. And then when we come back, you will then, they'll have the results of the scans, and then Professor Tom's going to, oh, that's the dishwasher finishing. And then
Professor
Tom is going to decide what, but he thinks we'll go back on the chemo, but on a lower, more manageable dose, maybe every other day or something like that. Find something that suits you.
Yeah. And
to hold it stable.
Yeah. Did we not talk about this last week or not? Because I think didn't I talk about one thing I should suggest to people who have a scan? Don't have a big lunch.
Oh, maybe we did, because I'm getting confused because of what happened after that.
Yeah, well, we did a bit, but it's always good to...
Apologies, everyone, for being very boring and repetitive.
Yeah, well, you know, we can't help being boring. Well, I can't. As you reminded me last night, I am of a certain age.
Yeah, we both are.
Darling, you're a child.
This podcast is going to get worse. We're going to say the same thing over and over every week. Makes it easy for us.
Life, in many cases, is...
Anyway, so what happened after that was, on Saturday, he went to work.
Did the show.
As normal.
Yeah.
Came back, had a McDonald's, as normal.
On the way back.
And then at 5 o'clock on Sunday morning, I was awoken by a pitiful cry from upstairs.
Pitiful?
Oh, yes.
Was it?
Oh, you were terribly sorry for yourself.
Oh, God.
But to be fair, he was very, 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 very poorly. With a very high temperature, and then something that I've now learned is called rigors.
Rigors is the first bit. You don't want the mortis.
Yeah, it's like extreme shivering, like shivering but notched up to 11 and a half. Well, maybe 15.
I tell you what, I actually thought that was it.
I know. I said, I'm just going to go, no, stay by my side. This is my last day.
I did not go that far.
You did say that. And I was like, oh, is it? And anyway, I'm going to put some washing on. But that was a bit later on in the day. But yeah, so he was very, very unwell. And so I did call the hospice community team. Yep. And
can I just interrupt before you go on and say, hospice, don't be frightened of the word. Whatever stage your cancer is at, when you get, like I'm at the end stage, it is good. Even, you know, you might have a year or whatever.
We're
left
just under their sort of outreach community team. So
you're
not like booked in with a bed, but they just look after us remotely, as it were, which is wonderful.
And they
who else can you call at like 7 a.m. on a Sunday morning?
Yeah.
So I rang them. I spoke to a really lovely nurse. She had a gorgeous Irish accent, very soothing.
Yeah.
And she's like, no, took a note of your temperature and stuff, and she said she'd get someone from the community team to ring us when they came in and told me to give you some paracetamol to bring your temperature down. And but that was a bit difficult because you weren't keeping anything down at that stage.
Do you know, that's the worst thing ever, when you feel sick and you think you're going to throw up and you never do. Yeah
So you weren't very happy,
except tablets.
You were very poorly. It turns out that it was an infection of some kind, probably a bit of a chest infection that, because you've been on chemo, just seems to come on very quickly and affect you very badly.
Yeah.
But anyway, the hospice team are amazing.
Oh, I forgot. Sorry, we could cut this out. They rang the other day and I missed the call, but I heard it. They left a message saying, just let us know if everything's okay.
Oh, no, I've spoken to them.
Oh, good. Oh,
no, I have spoken to them and told them that you're okay. And
it's age. Forget things. Yeah.
Yeah, but they were very helpful, and they said, but you should contact the GP so that you can, you know, if it's an infection, you can get some antibiotics, because otherwise, and this is very important if you're in this position, the same as we are, because I didn't know this, but evidently a slight little normal infection can very quickly become something called neutropenic sepsis, which is super serious. So you do have to not ignore if you have a raging temperature, do contact the doctor or the hospital or someone and actually get it sorted. Don't
you didn't tell me that bit.
No, I don't want you to get overexcited with your dramas. It was drama queen, very much dramatic on Sunday as it was. I knew you were very poorly, though, because after that you instantly went to sleep and didn't wake up for nearly 48 hours, which was lovely and peaceful. But I would like to say in praise of our local GP, because they don't have a very good reputation. And I just think, oh, no, I've got to ring them at like first thing on a Monday morning, which is obviously their busiest time. Mm. And I rang as soon as their lines opened and got a message immediately that said, sorry, there's so many people trying to get through to us, there isn't even a queue. Just ring back tomorrow. So I tried the online booking thing. And I must confess, I did push all of the buttons. I just ticked you up. Yes, he is unconscious. Yes, he's not breathing. Yes, he's having a heart attack. Yes, he's got cancer.
Oh, for goodness sake.
Yes, yes, yes,
Don't say that to everybody.
And then I put a note to say, like, the hospice had said, we must call you.
Yeah.
And to be fair, they rang us back within half an hour and saw you that day and gave you some antibiotics, and you perked right up.
I didn't realise that this other thing, I didn't understand, I must confess, that I was completely fine 1 minute, went to bed completely fine, and then just woke up sort of 5 o'clock in the morning, when I didn't wake you up at 5 o'clock in the morning.
No, you said you woke up at 2 and then you got me up at 5. You did endure it for 3 hours, you said, very bravely.
Well, I thought I'd just lie there still and not do anything.
I know, but I very faintly just heard, Deenie. And I was thinking, is that a ghost or something? But I've now taught
him. But the shaking, I've never seen. I mean, everybody has a bit of a shake every now
every
and then.
Every bit of you was shaking. I've never seen anyone's chest visibly shaking before. It was like, it was kind of weird and freaky.
Was it?
It was. But I've now trained him how to use the Alexa announcement facility so that he can just say to the Alexa by his bed to call me and just, or just go, help, and I will hear that loudly.
So wherever you are, it's always good to have a few Alexas around the house.
It's like a little intercom system, isn't
it? How did we manage without that?
Well, you did manage to wake me up by just plaintively wailing from your bedroom.
I mean, that's another thing as well. We're lucky enough to have separate bedrooms. Some people don't have the room. But when you do get ill and...
recommend it.
Yes. Things like I get shaky leg syndrome.
Restless leg syndrome.
Yeah, and stuff. That's
like you like Kenny Everett on speed.
Cancer does affect your body in so many different ways that is not often serious, but just you think, why on earth is this going on? Depending on where your tumours are, presumably.
I don't know, honey, but yes, I think some people can get the restless leg thing without having cancer.
I know there are lots of things that...
But you do thrash about. Yeah. You do thrash about of a night. That's why we're going away for a couple of nights to France with Gary and Hillary, which will be nice. But I am a little bit concerned as to whether I will get any sleep on those two nights because we are in the same room.
Well, I hope you don't get any sleep, to be honest. I'm sort of building myself up.
It will only be down to your thrashing legs that I don't get any
adding sleep. A few different pills to my cocktail every day.
Don't even go there.
But I'm laughing about it, but it was pretty full on.
It was strange was a very dramatically sudden onset. I mean, literally you were fine at midnight and not at all well by 2 a.m.
Yeah, I know. But And I have to agree with you that the GP, and he was a locum GP, but then, I mean, how many of us have a relationship with a GP now like we used to in the old days? You used to, you know Mr. or Mrs. or Ms. or, you know. But you don't now, really, do you? Because they're quite often different. And this guy was really nice. He was very straightforward.
We had Dr. Jones. He was really nice, but then one day he set fire to himself in the back garden of the surgery.
Was that a story you really needed to share?
Well, you just reminded me about having a friendly family doctor. That was very sad.
It was very sad. Was there a reason or not?
I'm sure I was only young at the time. I wasn't privy to the details, but it was quite shocking.
I'm quite shocked.
Yes.
Yeah. But anyway, so I can't be overly shocked because I never met the bloke, man. Gosh, you've got to be so careful what you say nowadays.
I know.
Misgender somebody and you're going to be arrested. You know, say something that could be considered hateful, like, I don't know. Better be careful.
But don't worry, even if you murder someone, you can come out of prison in about 10 minutes now.
Well, that's a very good point, yeah. Very good point indeed. You know, it's... And it's the fault of every extreme right winger, isn't it? Like,
all the murderers will be out wandering the streets, and everyone who's just said something slightly bad on social media is banged up.
Yeah, particularly if you've got grey hair.
We best be really careful.
For God's sake, yeah. That's a very good point, isn't it? Very good point indeed. But there's another little click to this, isn't there? That life goes on. So whatever's happening, you know, don't cut yourself away from life because you've got this disease that's, you feel that's it, that's the end. Because obviously cancer is one of the worst things you can have.
Although you did think that on Sunday.
I did think that on Sunday, but my first brush with cancer was 25 years ago when I was sort of in my 40s and nearly 50. Okay.
I know, I was just doing the maths there.
Yeah, I could see it.
Shall I say that? No, I let you get away with that one. It was close.
But it's more and more prevalent, and who knows why? Could just be that nature thinks there are too many human beings around.
Well, yes, another pandemic will sort that out.
Yeah, but the fact is that when you have it, you have to live while you can, and you can do stuff, and you can talk about stuff, and you can involve yourself in what's going on, because a lot of people get cancer and then shut themselves away.
Well, also, from my point of view, this going to France thing, I'm a very much like, oh God, should we be going? Because, like, supposing something happens while we're away and we can't get any travel insurance.
Yeah.
And so I'm sort of, it goes against my nature to go because I think, no, we should do what's safe. But I'm being very brave and we're going, aren't we? Because
we're only going for 2 days.
Otherwise, you'll have no fun because I'm saying, no, you can't go anywhere because you might not be well. So I have to fight that and like think, no, we must try and do some stuff. And if you're not well, we'll deal with it when it happens.
But, you know, like people say, they'll look at me and say, are you sure he's ill? I don't look ill. But if you see me walk, then you'll think, oh,
yeah,
he's a little
old. Even like that GP after I'd said that you were like, well, you know.
Yes. Nearly knocking. Yeah.
No. You were in a really, really bad way. And then you just like, I got you up about 10 minutes before the appointment. And then you just like kick into it. And you're like, all right, if we go, put my sunglasses on.
Yeah. Well, then, and you know,
And the doctor was like, you look fine to me, not from what the hospice's note said. And I was like, oh, but they weren't wrong. If you'd seen him yesterday morning, it would have been a completely different matter.
Yeah. But he did have a little listen to my chest. Said, you've got a little, sounds like a bit of an infection. But
the antibiotics have got you back to normal.
Yeah. Great antibiotics, but apparently we've abused them.
Yes, people don't finish the course or take them when they shouldn't.
I didn't realise that you have, you know, I shouldn't admit this, but for my life, if I've been on any tablets and I feel better, I don't bother to take them anymore.
That's exactly the problem.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Because then the bacteria that were left are the stronger ones, the ones that were more resistant to the antibiotics, and you haven't completely got rid of them. And they're the ones that then go on to replicate, and therefore you get antibiotic-resistant bacteria.
And then if you get an infection, because you quite often think, I've got cancer, why would I get anything else? Nothing else is going to affect me, surely, but obviously...
You're probably a bit more prone to it.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a bit of a scare, has to be said. But anyway, looking forward to going back to work tonight. I'm still able to work.
Is that scratch there where you did your nasal hair trimming accident?
Shut up. Did you really need to do that?
Can't leave him alone for 10 minutes.
Because part of my medication is blood thinners, and if I cut, I was trimming my moustache and beard. Men will know it's something that you have to do unless you want to look like some freaky.
Some ladies, I do it.
Yours isn't quite as long as mine yet. But I nicked myself and I couldn't stop the bleeding. I went on the internet and thought, I'm going to buy a nose hair trimmer. There's nothing worse than an old man with great big...
Oh, no. No, slightly worse is if it's coming out of your ears.
Have I?
No.
Oh. See, I think I could become a stand-up. Well, you and me together, we could do it. There isn't a man and wife stand-up team,
well,
is
you,
there?
Your stand-up would be what you doing your daily grooming. Yeah. Watch while I trim my nasal hair and be on the edge of your seat as to whether we end up in A&E or not.
It's not funny, though, is it? Because just having an injection.
Everyone look tonight when he's on screen. See the nose injury.
I'll have that made up. You won't even notice. But there are little things that do, and I hadn't realised, I mean, I know I've got a friend who's had problems with sepsis, and I hadn't even, is it sepsis?
Yeah.
And I thought it was a disease.
Well, it's an infection of your blood.
Oh, right.
So it can be caused by lots of different things, but basically it's just a bacterial infection gets into your bloodstream, then it's very serious.
But presumably with a low immunity threshold or whatever when you have cancer,
you're more likely to.
Great.
It's not so much when you've got cancer, it's when you're on the chemos.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, listen, I think we should probably stop babbling on now. Because
I've got to go and get ready for a little birthday party we're doing for somebody.
Yeah. Yeah, for our friends who really look after us. Yeah. Which is always good if you've got friends who, you know, because it must be annoying for a lot of people if you've got friends, good friends, who suddenly one of them gets cancer. And I'll sit here.
You were probably annoying before you had cancer.
Well, no, I was annoying before I had cancer, but now I'm annoying from I could tell you what I think should be done point of view, but not be able to help do it.
You're good at supervising.
Yeah, but I'm not really, am I? I'm not really good at organising.
I let you think you're good at supervising.
Listen.
It's Gary's 70th,
yeah.
And Gary's very, very kind and nice to us. So we're just putting on a small gathering,
yeah,
to say happy 70th to Gary.
Yeah,
and then we're all heading off to France.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
So you'll find out next week if we had any adventures or not. Yeah.
But in the meantime, and I always say this, it's a bit boring. If you've never listened before, if it's suddenly something that has hit you, it is good to talk about it. Quite often, as I say before, people don't know what... I mean, I didn't. And the second time I got it, I suddenly panicked and thought... And then I forgot, hey, hang on, I started a charity 20 odd years ago. And you, all these
Maybe
things...
Maybe I should
suddenly,
contact them.
Yeah. So find out who is representing the cancer that you've been diagnosed with. Probably at the doctors, they'll tell you and give you all the information. At least the Macmillan nurses should.
Or there's lots online if you're an online type person.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we all have to be online people now.
Well, no, still some people can't.
No, I know. Listen, if I hadn't got you in my life, I don't think I'd be around talking today. As it was, I nearly mixed the pills up the other day. And I've got to the stage where first thing in the morning, we're babbling on, I must stop, where I've got about 6 or 7 pills to take in the morning. And this has got nothing to do with chemo. This is the other stuff that you get to take. And so I like to just sort of tip them all in my mouth at one go. And then I sort of had a little cough. A couple came out and I'm scrambling all over the floor to find them.
Oh, God.
Dear, oh, dear. Didn't tell you that.
Yeah, because some of them are some of them are just not that important, but there's a couple of them that are very important. There's one you just take once a day, and if you don't take that one, you'll be in trouble, so...
Oh, yeah.
Try not to spit them out.
No, I will.
Miss your mouth when you're putting them in.
Yeah.
We've had that a few times.
Yeah, well, I haven't got a very large mouth. That's a problem.
Oh.
Listen, have a great week, and we will talk to you soon.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Bye.